to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm looking forward to this video and continuing in our series about the tree of good and evil. I know you understand this, but when Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they experienced something God didn't want them to ever experience. And we'll see this even here today, that God really wanted them protected from the life that people are living today, thinking that the life we're living is normal. It's not at all normal. It's not God's design. In fact, when God created everything, if you'll remember there, Genesis 1 verse 3, not only did he say light be and light was, and God saw the light and said that it was good. In verse 31, when he finished creating everything, he said it was very good. So the plan of which God made for man to experience him and experience his surroundings in a perfect environment was corrupted through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man began to spin out of control very quickly, separated from God, and began to create, if you will, an alternative world. And this alternative world is not for your experience with God. It's very much against it. So we want to continue to talk about these things. And it's important because our verse here, Titus 2, 11 and 12, it says in the Passion Translation, God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. This same grace teaches us. So you can see there that grace wants to teach you something. It says, teaches us how to live each day as we, number one, turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles. What's the first thing that grace is going to teach you? The negativity of the world and what has gone wrong with the lifestyle of this world and the indulgences of the world. It's going to protect you from those things so that you have two hands available to grab hold of the goodness of God. And it's the goodness of God which leads a man to repentance. It goes on to say, and it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Well, as you know, we always give you the invitation of Jesus to every man and every woman, every child, any age of a human being, over in Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible, which reads, now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Notice how that fits with our scripture in Titus 2, 11. Just take a break for a moment to hear these thoughts. Isn't it interesting that grace wants to teach you about the indulgences and the wrong lifestyle that has been corrupted, the negativity of the world? Notice the first thing Jesus does after he says, would you like to have a relationship with the Father like me? I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And the next thing he says is, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? He's going to go right to the heart of the problem. And that is where religion skewed your vision of God, your perspective of the spiritual realm, and your ability and everyone's ability to connect with God on such a real level that prayers are answered and a relationship with the Lord is very tangible indeed. You hear his voice, you recognize his presence, you walk with him on purpose like Adam and Eve did, like Jesus did, as our prototype to this brand new relationship we can have with the Father. So going back, jumping back in, Matthew 11, 27 to 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What an invitation. I trust this is helping you, folks. I talk to people that are watching, you know, the Grace, Adventures in Grace. And for the most part, I have nothing but wonderful thoughts from people, but I want to encourage you, apply yourself to this. This isn't like I'm telling you to read 15 chapters of the Bible and pray in other tongues for 4 hours, although all of that would be very beneficial to your desire to have more of God on a greater level, because you can't read the Bible without seeing individuals that are experiencing God, most likely in a little bit of a better tangibility than you are. And what does it do but encourage your heart to say, let's open up our heart and our mind to the grace of God in this dispensation to receive Jesus on such a level where I walk with him and I talk with him. Amen. This is what our life is supposed to be, and that is a living epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, a living epistle of Christ. In other words, people can see your life is so manifested with Jesus in it that they can read the scriptures by reading your life. That's a pretty powerful thought. Well, as you know, the last session we were talking about the things that are going wrong with the world. We used a bunch of scriptures to show you that if your life is in the world, it will be antithetical or completely opposite of the life in the spirit. You can't do two at the same time. Now, you certainly can flip-flop. We know that. I mean, Peter one moment has a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the next moment Jesus is rebuking the devil and saying, get behind me, Satan, because Peter picked up on Satan's thought and spoke that out of his mouth. You say, how can that be? Well, you can't do the two at the same time, but you can flip-flop. And we want to learn how to stay over in a spirit consciousness until the things of the world and the things of Satan grow so strangely dim. That sounds like a song, I know. Old time song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Notice, you look into his face. It didn't say you got to study more scripture, pray in the Holy Ghost 20 more hours. Remember, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, even that song reverberates. What we're saying is that God is a tangible God, and he can become very real to you. And as you look into his beautiful face, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Well, that's why we're bringing this up. Why would you give so many scriptures that show that if a man, I love this, don't love the world's ways, the world's goods, the love of the world squeezes out the love of the Father? That's why we're sharing it. That's what grace is teaching us. Someone said, well, man, I'm not in the world. Well, the scriptures would declare that you would know him and experience him and get your prayers answered and have tangible results just like Jesus, that you would see into the spiritual realm and those things would become real to you. And if you're not having all of those or even some of those, well, then most likely the scriptures would declare that you probably are much more aware of the flesh and of the world than you think. And so as a means of finding out where you really are, the last couple of sessions that we've had is so important for you to visit it and visit it again. Until you realize that, yes, Lord, I desire to lose the flesh world consciousness and gain the spirit Christ consciousness where God is real. Now we can just jump for just a second, because I just want to look at the Bible for just a moment here. And it's we're eight minutes in. We've got about another 8 minutes. If I were looking back from a very outsider point of view about the Bible, what would I think? Well, I would read the Bible and I would say it's a religious book about God and about man. Number two, I would look at the Old Testament and I would say it shows God's original intention for man. You know, just the book of Genesis, that's one of the greatest things about it. It shows us what God really wanted for man, and that is to be in the garden, tangibly walking with God, talking with God. He still lives in an earth suit or a physical body, and his body contacts this world, but his spirit contacts the godly world, which shows you it's possible for you to be aware of God out of your spirit and still be aware of the tangible world of the flesh. And if you'll allow spiritual things to become so real to you, then the fleshly things will not dominate you. It would show how man altered the plan, and then it would show you God's response. Once man was lost, removed from home, It shows individuals who then experienced a connection with God. So the Old Testament then shows you that God was reaching out to his man that was now lost, living a different type of life than what God intended from the book of Genesis. But it also shows you some pretty cool encounters that man had, even though he was lost, which shows you that God did not just whisk man away with the idea that he wants nothing to do with him because he was offended. I'm telling you, the long suffering of God is absolutely amazing. I mean, the name of Methuselah tells you that when he dies, there is going to be judgment. And when he died, the flood came. So how long did God keep Methuselah alive? Almost 1,000 years. Can you believe it? 969 years, the oldest man to live. Why? Because God was trying the best he could to prolong and prolong and prolong and prolong the judgment so that man could turn and the judgment be stayed and he didn't have to judge man. God delights in mercy. And that's why he sent the Son of God, Jesus, the great God of mercy. That's the sure mercies of David, something we don't have to get into right now, but that's why Jesus became the answer to God's mercy, so that he could redeem mankind and give mankind something he did not deserve and keep mankind from something he did deserve. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And then we see the transition between the old covenant and the new covenant, and it shows Jesus, the Savior of the world, revealing how every man can have a relationship with God. I think that we adequately gave you from the Message Bible, Matthew 11, 27 to 30, which helps you to see Jesus has given us an invitation. He doesn't want us to live a heavy life, a weighed down life, a life of care, a life of adversity and chaos and drama. He wants us to live a very carefree life where everything is provided for and we actually get to hang out with Jesus. So think about that. Hanging out with Jesus must be completely different from hanging out with trouble. And for most Christians, their life hasn't changed that much when it comes to the trouble they incur. Folks, we don't have to incur all that trouble. I know the weapons of the enemy will be formed against us, but they do not have to prosper. But I'm telling you, you can live in the grace of God and the awareness of God where we can skirt the issue of so much of the world's trouble. Do you know the very fact that you would buy into the baloney of the world, that you would buy into the drama and the chaos of people that want to lay all their cares and burdens on you? Do not buy into that. Just alleviating drama out of your life, you would think that Jesus came and raised you up to heaven and you're living in glory. Most people are swimming in drama, folks. To walk in the peace of God and be free from all that, that's just your choice. Those who accept Jesus receive the benefit of his relationship. He was crucified for saying that God was his father. Notice, if you read the Bible from an outsider standpoint, you'd see that things did shift when Jesus came on the scene, and everybody was mad about it as hornets. I mean, people could get healed right in the very presence of the Lord, and the Pharisees would be mad as can be, and they were mad because Jesus said that God was his father, showing you that if you didn't know much, the ultimate goal was for you to have a family of God, and for God to be your father. And if the enemy wanted to come against that and put Jesus on the cross, then that must be a very, very, very important revelation. The resurrection began a new era. Anyone can receive the father-child relationship with God. Those who have good connections with God will produce evidence that Jesus is alive, and anyone can experience God. Think about this, that great connection that we have with God. You say, well, what is that connection? It's just very simply John 15, verse 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done for you of my Father. And this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Yes, it's just abiding in him. What is abide in him? It means to stay continually connected. See, if you're continually connected to God, that's where spiritual things become real. If you didn't know anything, you'd realize that there is a difference between you being connected to the world and not having a good connection with God, or you being connected to God and not having a good connection with the world. And the last thing is, the book of Revelation shows you there's a horrible happenings that are going to take place on the earth, and God will change everything down here. So really, everything of the earth is not going to last. Hence, Why let it hinder your ability to have a relationship with God? Come on, think about this, everybody. This is what we're faced with today. What are we going to choose? Where are we going to put our affections and our time and our energy? Think about this from even Enoch's point of view over there in Hebrews chapter 11, 5 and 6, where it knows, you know, without faith, you cannot please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Enoch pleased God because he walked by faith, and he walked with God for 300 years. And what was the tangibility of Enoch walking with God? He literally was walking in heaven and on earth. He spent time in the glory realm with God in heaven, and then he spent time on the earth. I'm telling you, we have been messed with by religion to take away the spiritual world as being normal and real and an everyday experience. To most Christians, something about the spiritual world is very spooky and very mysterious, and you just better be careful or you'll get a devil. Think about that. Here we are walking with God, and we're going to get devils. Folks, the first thing you must believe is that he is. He is in this degree a tangible God. The second thing you need to believe is if you'll seek after him with diligence, you will find him. And in what manner will you find him? If we didn't know too much about the Bible, but we're an outsider, and you looked in, you would have to admit that somebody that walks with God and diligently puts their face toward the Lord and not toward the world will find him in such a real way that spiritual things will become normal to him. And if that person has trouble, those spiritual things will solve that problem, and there will be signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. If you didn't know too much, you could figure that out. How come it is it seems like we that know so much don't seem to figure it out? Well, folks, that's called religion. And that's the first thing Jesus said. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Everybody ought to say yes. And your first testimony, a grace story right here and right now is while you're listening to me, if you can see it, if you can see that it's the religion, it's the tradition, it's the world and the flesh that is causing you to lose the connection that's so vitally real and important before God. If you can see that, that is a grace testimony because it's the grace of God that teaches you to turn your back on the world and the indulgences and the lifestyle. Say, I can't play golf anymore. I love to play golf. Do you know I have so many good golf grace stories that are amazing while I'm playing? Sure, I've had moments of frustration as well where I didn't hit the ball well and I got in the flesh. Sure. But I'm telling you, the experiences of watching God bless me and help me while I'm on a golf course, enjoy myself and find grace everywhere. And the beauty of that course far outnumbers any negative experiences. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy some things down on the earth. But I'm telling you, the further that you experience God, the less you will want to experience the world. Boy, go to the Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and subscribe to get more of these. For anybody watching this, make sure you go to the Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and you'll begin to see events and things that are coming up. Or you can just go to jimhockaday.com. Look on our itinerary. We're going to have 11th, 12th, and 13th of January, 18th, 19th, and 20th. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, both of those weeks at the Holiday Inn right here in Castle Rock, Colorado, we're going to have Healing by Design, healing meetings. You need to come. There'll be a hotel right there because that's where we're having it, one of the hotel rooms. So there'll be information on our website where you can get a link, find out about the cost of the hotel. You can make your way here and let God heal you and touch you and set you free. Also, you can go to Adventures in Grace YouTube video page and subscribe and stay connected to what we're doing here. Please send in your grace story. Some are starting to do it, and I can't wait for the next session because we'll read some more of those grace stories of yours. God bless you till the next time.